Numbers chapter 27, I'll begin in verse number 1. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahla, Noah, and Hogla. Hogla. Poor girl. Hogla. And Milcah and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family, because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, together in verse 7, ready? The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. Go back with me to verse 4. This is what we're going to use. We're going to talk about the story for a moment and then try to draw some principles for us. But if you look at verse 4, that phrase, give unto us therefore. And that's what we're going to preach on tonight. Give unto us therefore. Let's pray and jump right into it. Father, I pray now that you'd help us. Help our attention, our mind now to be on your word. Speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to yourself. Now, Lord, we look to you for help. If you don't help, then, Lord, there is no help. And so we look to you for help in all of our Christian life. Pray that you'd bless us tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Follow along. I'm going to probably zigzag a little bit in the message. And you're going to have to follow me on purpose. It won't be one of the easier sermons, at least to start with. Back yonder, not too long ago, maybe just a few years ago, my wife and I were dating before we were married. It wasn't that long ago. Actually, it seems that way, doesn't it? But yes, it does. Seems like a short time ago. Thank you. And so it seems that, but we're going to be coming up in June, 28 years. It's hard to believe, 28 years. But one day, this is back when we were in college, my wife had this idea for, she was going to do like an event. She was going to, we were going on a date, but she decided to do kind of a, what would you call that, where you go looking for things? Scavenger hunt type thing. But it was a little different. In that she was going to leave me notes. She was going to be somewhere on campus. And she was going to leave me notes to get to different points eventually to get where she was. She had her roommates in on this. And if she was dating someone who had more intelligence, it would work great. But I had no idea what she was talking about. I don't know. And so she said, meet me at such and such place. So I met in such and such place. And it wasn't her. It was one of her roommates. I didn't know anything about this. So I show up. And her roommate handed me this note. And so I read the note, and I said, okay, so me and you're going on a date. No, that's not what it is. So I read the note, and it said, and it had like a rhyme, like a poem or something, you know, where the ins are outs and the outs are in. It was actually the post office, but, and it has an inside and outside. I mean, the ins are ins and outs are outs or something like that. And I looked at her roommate, and I said, huh? And her roommate said, go to the post office. I said, okay. So I go to the post office, and another roommate was there. And then every time I had to look at the roommate and say, huh? And they said, go here. So it didn't really work. But it was a nice thought. I appreciate it. So eventually, she was waiting for me in the miniature golf course here. I've been on campus there. She was waiting there, and we had our date. I don't know what we did. We talked and probably had, I don't know, played a game or something. But it was an interesting thing. But I think about that when I think about the Bible. Because sometimes in the Bible, the Lord does the same thing. He kind of leaves clues, almost like he's encouraging us to keep searching for him. It's almost like he doesn't come out and say things. He kind of just puts a little clue there to encourage us to increase continue in and increase our searching of the Bible to understand him. I think sometimes when we get to places like here in Numbers 27, there's kind of like a little clue the Lord gives us. It's a story. And if we could read through this story quickly, and we've talked about Numbers recently on Wednesday nights, we go through this story quickly, and it's just like, why would the Lord even talk about this? What, I mean, it's almost like you read it and just say, okay, but why? I mean, what was the point of even telling us this? But I think here in this story, there's a great nugget, an encouragement in this idea of praying and seeking him out. I'll tell you what's going on so you kind of understand what's happening. If you go to Numbers 26 and look with me at verse 52, let me explain a little bit here. It says in verse 52, "And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Unto these the land shall be divided for inheritance according to the number of names. To many," in other words, the size of the tribe or size of the family, "to many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to the few thou shalt give the less inheritance. To every one shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot." In other words, that was the choosing method. "According to the names of the tribes of their fathers they shall inherit. According to the lot shall the possession thereof be divided between many and few." And so the Lord's getting ready to have Moses to divide up the land among the tribe of Israel. And it was supposed to go by the fathers, that each family would, based on the father, would be given a lot, would be given a section of land to inherit. Well, the problem came in by this man named Zelophehad, who had five daughters. When it came time to give inheritance to the fathers, the daughters realized their dad was dead. He died before the lot was cast. He had died already in the wilderness. And so they come to him and they say, "Moses, we got a problem here. You're about to hand out possessions to the land. The land goes by lot, and based on how the bigger family gets bigger land, the smaller family gets smaller land. It goes out based on the names of the fathers. Each father's going to get a lot of land, and that possession goes from father to son." They said, "Our dad had no sons, so they're not going to be included. And our dad is dead, he's not going to be included. We're in the nation of Israel, we're not going to get any possession." So they had a real need here. They're about to enter into the promised land with no hope of inheritance. Now think about this. They have gone from Egypt all the way to the promised land. It was always the promised land to them. And they're about to go into the promised land without any hope of getting any of that land that was promised. So they had a real need. And so they go to Moses, and through Moses go to the Lord about this situation. And they say, "Give unto us," therefore, there's a request, there's a desire here. So now let's switch gears again. Let me ask you this question. What do you do when you have real needs in your life? They had a real need. What do you do when you have real needs in your life? You get a situation and you say, "Well, this ain't going to work. If the Lord doesn't do something, this ain't going to happen." What do we do? Let me tell you, most likely you have a real need in your life. And if you don't, you're soon going to be. Because that's the state of humanity. We go usually from need, and as soon as we get out of that need, guess what happens? Get another need. We go and come out of the valley, we go into the mountaintop. As soon as you leave the mountaintop, guess where you're heading? Back down to the next valley. That's the reality of our Christian life. So what do you do when you have real needs that come in your life? It could be financial needs, it could be health needs, it could be relationship needs, it could be all kinds of different things that come in. Things that you don't even imagine. Usually that's what happens. Things you didn't even imagine, things you didn't even think would happen, all of a sudden pop up or come into your life. Can you identify specific examples? Let me ask you a question a little bit slow. I want you to think about it. Can you identify specific examples in your life where God definitively met a need in your life? Can you look back in your life and say, "Here was a real need, and the Lord did it. Man did not do it. I didn't figure it out. Man could not do it. The Lord did this. Here's what God did in my life." Have you ever had that experience? Let me tell you a sad thing. Many Christians probably haven't. Let me tell you why. Not because God can't. Not because God won't, not because God doesn't care, but they never sought out the Lord. Often we have these needs come in our life, these real needs. Here's what we do. We start scheming. We start coming up with our own way, and we start saying, "Well, if I do this, and if I do that, if I change this, and I'm not saying it's wrong. It's not wrong to try to plan and try to do some things on your own. But when you got to do wrong, when you got to lie, when you got to cheat, when you got to manipulate, when you got to do things underhanded in order to get your needs met, let me tell you, that's not of the Lord. If you got to lie about it, God's not in it. If you got to manipulate people to get what you want, God is not in that. So what do we do when we have these type of needs? Sometimes we scheme, we cheat, we lie, we trick, we finagle, we worry, we fret, we complain, we connive. Now listen, we go on Facebook and tell everyone, but we don't ever spend time asking the Lord about it. And what we find is this. We find that the Lord knows about these things, and the Lord wants to meet these needs in our life. Let me just take a moment here, and I'm going to give you some examples of my own life. I'm not doing this in a, and I hope if it comes across this way, I apologize up front. But as we go through, when I think about our church, 8 years of age, we've had some highs and we've had some lows. We've kind of gone this way at times. Churches do that. But there's something in me that when things are high, I'm thinking, well, you know, things aren't always high. When things are low, I think, well, things aren't always low. But I know this, the Lord is capable of meeting our needs. The Lord's been gracious of late. We've been able to buy our building. We've had some new folks join our church. We've had some good Sundays. I'm thankful for those things. But it's not always going to be that way. It's not always that way in a church's life. We know that in our short term here, and if you've been in church much, you know that's not the way that it was always in church. There are low times. There are times, not only in our personal life, but in our church life, where there's great needs to come in. And the thing that keeps me balanced, the thing that keeps me focused, is I know the Lord has met needs in my life. Let me just give you some, some of these are old hat, maybe all of them are old hat, I don't know. Let me just say, these are the things that encourage me. Probably, I'm going to tell you one, it's an oddball one, and you're going to think it's oddball when I tell it to you. And I've told you before, but let me tell you, it's one of the great prayer answers in my entire life. It's a stupid one. But let me tell you it's a stupid request, but it's a great answer. Let me tell you what it was. You already know what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. George's hamburger. So, what's that? Let me tell you what George's is. And I'm not kidding. Okay, I'm telling you the truth. This is not just preaching. I'm telling you the truth. George's was a corner burger stand in Chicago on our bus route that if you could stomach the roaches, if you could stomach the grease, and you could stomach the dirty restaurant, it was great hamburgers and fries. It was great. They were just, well, maybe the grease and the roaches did something with, but it was great. We were parked in front of Burger King. And I was hungry. I had no money, which is a story of my college career, by the way. It hasn't changed much over the years. But a story of my college career, I had no money. And I was doing this on the bus. I was pacing back and forth. And I said, Lord, man, I'm hungry. Man, which is also the story of my life. I am hungry. Man, I'm hungry. And I said, and I looked over at Burger King, and I said, nah, I don't want it my way. I don't want Burger King. And so a friend of mine named, and I said, here's what I said, Lord, I want to go down to George's. I want a quarter pounder with cheese. I want an order of fries, and I want a big Coke. Man, I can taste it right now. Man, I'm going to brush those roaches to the side. I'm going to eat that thing. Ooh, I just can't wait. I said, Lord, that's what I want. Now, I had a very specific prayer. Bill Spriggs comes out of McDonald's. He comes over to the bus. He says, hey, him and Kelly both call me Denny. Hey, Denny, how you doing? I said, you know how we always say, oh, I'm doing fine. You want anything? No, I'm fine. He said, here's what he said. He said, come into McDonald's. Come into Burger King. He said, I'll buy your Whopper. I'll buy your meal. I said, no. I said, Bill, I'm fine. I don't need anything. And then he looked at me. He said, Denny, let me take you down to George's and buy you a quarter pounder of cheese, a fry, and a Coke. I looked at him and I said, Bill, you got a deal. Now, you know why that means something to me? Because there's a specific prayer that I wanted, the Lord answered. You say, you think the Lord is concerned? I think the Lord is concerned about His people. And I saw what the Lord did, and that encouraged my heart. I'll tell you another one. Probably maybe the second big thing like that, just because I knew the Lord was doing it. It had nothing to do with me and nothing to do with anyone else. The Lord did it. Back when, probably early 90s, 90, 91, we were working at Victory Baptist Temple, and we've always tried to live by a budget. But you know what the problem with budget is? You can say, here's all my expenses. But when your income is like that, it's still hard to budget that. So here was our expenses. And we had, I think our budget, now it was my wife. It was Bethany, who was 3 years of age. Holly, which would be at 2 years of age. And Denny, who was just newborn. So there's five of us. And our grocery budget for the week, and this is food, detergent, everything you think of, cleaning, everything you think of you buy at the grocery store, our entire budget for the week was $25. That was our budget for the week. The problem was, once she bought the detergent, and of course, I have kids in diapers. She bought the detergent, she bought the diapers, she bought soap, she bought shampoo. She had no more money left for groceries. She came home, she was upset, discouraged. She said, I got diapers, I got this and this. He said, I have no food for the week. What are we going to do? I said, I don't know. By the way, happens to be my answer a lot as well. I don't know. I don't know what to do. So I said, well, you know what? I got to mow the grass. So I, which is another good answer. So I said, I went out there and I start the mower. I'm pushing the mower and I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. We have no food. I got a wife. I got three kids. I like to walk when I pray. And so I said, Lord, I just don't know what we're going to do. And I'm mowing the grass and I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, we need you to do something. I don't know who. I don't know. I just, Lord, you got to provide. Before I got that yard mowed, someone pulled in. I can tell you who it is. I don't think she'd mind me telling you. Mrs. Crawford pulled in, just pulled into the driveway. So I go over there and I said, hey, Mrs. Crawford, how are you doing? She said, you know, I was at the store, and the Lord put you on our heart. She said, and she had three bags of groceries for us, which is more than we could have ever afforded at $25. The Lord gave beyond. You know what it means something to me? That the Lord provided for us. Now, when you see the Lord doing that, you understand that the Lord wants to meet our needs. The Lord wants to do things for us. The Lord wants to answer these prayers. The Lord wants to increase our faith. Let me switch gears one more time. What you find when you pray, you find that God is always involved. Sometimes it seems maybe it's more of God, and sometimes it seems it's less of God, but it's always of God. Let me explain what I mean by another Bible story. Remember the story about the Battle of Jericho? Remember that story? It's a huge city, and God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the nation of Israel, and you're going to, the army, and you're going to march around the city of Jericho for the first day how many times?
Once.
And the second day, you're going to march around how many times? Once. And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, each day one time. And then on the seventh day, you're going to march around how many times?
7 days.
After you've marched around 7 times, now they've done nothing. They've thrown no stones, no spears. They've not done anything. They've not brought in the big artillery. They've not brought in the big Abram tank. They've not called for the B-52s to carpet bomb them. They've done none of that. All they've done is march around the city. March around the 7th day 7 times. And when you're done marching around 7 times, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop. I want you to shout. And then what's going to happen? The wall is going to fall flat. How much did they do to get the walls to fall? Nothing. It was all of God. And God answered this need in their life. It was completely of God. Now, let me tell you the flip side, which is a very strange story. They come to a smaller city, Ai. One they could have, one you would think that, here's Jericho, and God destroyed it. Now, how is God going to destroy Ai? We don't get to the whole story, but it was a very long battle plan that involved a lot of their military. Why did God do it that way? I don't know. But sometimes when God answers prayers, He does things completely apart from everything else. And sometimes when He answers prayers, He involves other people. It's still of God. And sometimes when we tell stories where, you know, all of a sudden Mrs. Crawford show up, or all of a sudden Bill Spriggs comes in and says, hey, let me do that, and say, well, the Lord is in that. But tell you, sometimes the answers to prayer is that God uses other means. God can heal your body miraculously. Did you know that? Just like that. Sometimes God uses medicine and doctors. It's still of God. Sometimes it's a Jericho answer. Sometimes it's an Ai answer. Sometimes God miraculously acts apart from all things and supernaturally intervenes. Sometimes God uses men or other means, but it's still of God. And so when I'm talking about bringing our needs to God, it's not always in a supernatural way. It's not always in a way where it's like, wow, it's just like manna falling from heaven, but it's always of God. God is always the answer to these things. Can I encourage you tonight, whatever the need may come in your life, bring it to the Lord. I'm not sure how to answer it. Sometimes He'll do it in ways you have no idea. He may use your family, He may use your friends, He may use a stranger, but the Lord can meet the needs in your life. He encourages us to do that. Now, I'm going to give you three things, kind of quickly, hopefully to encourage us in this idea of prayer. Three things I want you to notice. Now we're going to use our Bibles again. Go back with me, if you will. And go to the book of James. James chapter 1. And once you find it, we're going to come back to James here in a little bit. You may want to put a bookmark in it, because we'll come back to the book of James. We'll look at a verse here, James chapter 1. Some of these should be very familiar verses, maybe all of them are. But James chapter 1, if you will, I want you to notice what it says in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from what? above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the Bible says that these good gifts, these perfect gifts, come from above. Now put a bookmark there and go with me to Matthew 7, if you will. Matthew chapter 7. And go down, if you will, to verse 7. Matthew 7. And then in verse 7, I want you to notice some things here. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh does what? Receiveth. And he that seeketh does what? Findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, we'll come back to this thought later in the message. Let me tell you this. The answer to prayer is the reception of what you're asking for. That's clearly in the Bible. The answer to prayer isn't where you don't get it. That's not the answer to prayer. The answer to prayer is receiving. Now, you say, well, I prayed and don't get it. Well, there's reasons for that. We'll see in a moment. But this is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to give us what we're asking for. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? For he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, notice this, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things than them that ask him? First thing I want you to understand tonight is this. Number one, God wants to give us good things. God wants, it is the desire of God's heart to give good things to his people. God is, I agree he's sovereign. I agree that we should be fearful and respectful of him. I understand he is the eternal God. At the same time, he is our Father. He is our friend. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He desires to give his people good things. He desires to answer our prayer. He desires to bless us. It is God's heart, God's desire to give his people things that they need. Let me ask you this. Do you enjoy giving your kids good things? Are you like, oh, it's Christmas, I got to give you this stupid gift. Here I go, I hope you like it. Or does it bring you joy? You know what you find? And as a kid, you would never imagine this. As a kid, your whole thing is like, let me tell you what you feel like as soon as Christmas is over. You're bummed out because you got to realize you got to wait another 365 days. It's like, oh, man, I got another year now to wait. But as a parent, it's really not about getting, is it? You know, you're probably like me, I'm probably like you in this. When people ask you, especially your kids ask you, well, what do you want for Christmas? Most of the time you say, I don't really want anything. But don't you desire to give your kids things for Christmas? And when your kids get older and they start having kids, and then you give your grandkids things, isn't that a great blessing that you can have? Boy, you want to see their smile, you want to see them excited, you want to see them tear into it, and they're like, whoa, and they're excited. Doesn't that excite you? Let me ask you, do you think the Lord's any different about that? The Lord enjoys giving his children good things. So when we come to prayer, here's what we have to understand, that God wants to give us good things. God desires to give us good things. It is in God's heart to bless his people. I want you to notice the second thing. Now let me back up just for a moment. Obviously, we're not talking about charismatic nonsense. We're not talking about health and wealth. We're not talking about, I'm always healthy, I'm always wealthy. But we are talking about that God wants to answer the prayers of his people. God is not like this up in heaven going, can't hear you. Nah, can't hear you. That's not what God is doing. He desires, he wants, it is his heart to give us good things. This is what the Lord wants. We're not up there trying to shake heaven and say, Lord, listen to me. Lord, you got to listen to me. Lord, listen. That's not what we're doing. It's not like the Lord's ears are, unless there's sin in your life and maybe God's not listening to your prayers. But absent of that, God desires to hear his children's prayers. He desires to give us good things. Sometimes I think we got to talk God into it. You don't have to talk God into answering your prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to bless his people. That is very clearly taught in the Bible. I'll show you the second thing. Number two is this. Matthew chapter 6. You were just in Matthew 7. Go back a chapter to Matthew 6. Here's the second thing I want you to notice. Matthew 6, look with me. Let's just go down to verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Now, you got to start in verse 1 to see all he's talking about. We'll just jump in right into it, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Notice this, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, he's not saying, well, God knows about us, why even ask? But he's saying this is an encouragement. God, so number one, God wants to give us good things. Number two, God knows our needs. This is an encouragement to pray. In other words, we're not trying to convince God, but we're asking him. He knows I need it. When I go to the Lord and say, Lord, I got this problem. God knows I have this problem. God knows this is going on in my life. I'm not going up there saying, hey, Lord! Hey, God! Don't you see what God knows what's going on in my life? Before you even ask him. If you have a need in your life, why should you bring it to the Lord? Because God knows it's happening. He already is aware of it. He already has a desire about it. Already has a plan about it. God knows our needs. He's encouraging us to pray. We're not convincing God of a need. Let me stop, because I think we miss here. I don't have to convince God this is a need in my life. He knows it's a need. I'm not trying to make him understand my point of view. He already knows my situation. I'm not convincing God. I'm asking him. He knows I need it. He wants to give it to me. Let me watch this. But he requires me to ask for it. Matthew 7. This should be old hat to you. Matthew chapter 7. And look with me at verse 7. Now you'll beat me to it because I closed my mind up. Matthew 7. Look at verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Let me tell you the flip side of what, and I don't think doing any error to Scripture. Don't ask, and it won't be given to you. Don't seek, and you won't find it. Don't knock, and it won't be opened. Wouldn't you say that's pretty much true what he's saying? If you don't ask, you're not going to get it. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and it shall be given you. Same thing, if you don't ask, it's not going to be given you. And so the Lord is telling us that he requires me to ask these things. Now, why? I think there's different reasons why. I think part of it, he wants fellowship with you. Part of it is this, and here's the big part we're going to get to next. It's because what we're asking for is really not what we need. You ever... And I haven't done this much since I was a teenager, but it seems like when we were a teenager growing up in West Virginia, everyone had to have a car that needed to push out of the snow. And when you're pushing a car out of snow, here's the first thing you tell them. Get in and do what to the wheels? Get them straight. But I'm in the ditch. It doesn't matter. You cannot get that car in a different direction until you get it moving forward. Once the car is moving forward, then you can steer it. The same thing is true in our Christian life. The Lord says, here's what I need to do in your life. Here's your real need. Here's really what's going on. But I'm over here saying, Lord, here's my need. Lord, here. And the Lord says, you know what? Until you start asking, I can't direct your asking. I can't direct it until you start the asking. And so the Lord says, I know what you have need of. You need to just start asking me, and I'll kind of direct that. Let me tell you another reason, I think. Because answered prayer is one of the greatest ways to strengthen your faith in him. If God simply gave you all that you needed without ever you asking, let me tell you what we would do. Let me tell you what we would do. Here's what we would do. We would take all the credit. We would take all the glory and become very selfish. And the Lord says, no. I want to strengthen your faith. I want to grow your faith. I want to increase your faith. Therefore, I'm going to put you in situations where you have to ask me. I know you have this need, but I'm not going to do it until you ask. And when you ask and I do it, then you'll say, look what the Lord has done. Let me tell you another answer to prayer. This is an old hat. One of the first answers to prayer, one of the very significant first answer to prayers when I went off to Bible college. You know, this is an old story. It means a lot to me. It's number one because it's my first story I probably ever told you. I was going off to Bible college. Needed $600. Needed it in 6 weeks. In 6 weeks, I prayed hard, fasted and prayed, prayed all night, walked and prayed, cried and prayed, begged and prayed, pleaded and prayed, prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And after 6 weeks, you know what I had? I had $60. And I had just a couple days to go off to Bible college. Within those next couple days, I had a whole $600. Now, that's how I started Bible college. So I'm in Bible college believing that God can answer prayer. And I saw the Lord answer prayer, and the Lord brought us through. Now, he built my faith because he required me to ask him. You're in Matthew 7. Go with me to Matthew 8. Let's look at it from a Bible perspective. Matthew chapter 8. Look with me in verse 23. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. You see anything odd about that story? He goes into the ship, correct? He being Jesus. He brings his disciples with him, correct? And you know, let me tell you this. He gets in a storm and Jesus knew nothing about it. Isn't that strange? You say, wait, no. He's God. He would have known. You're right, he would have known, wouldn't he? I want you to think with me. Did he lead the disciples into that ship, into that water, into that storm? Can I tell you, God will bring you into storms of your life. Because he knows you need to ask him for some things. One of the reasons for the storms is so that you learn to pray and seek his face. So God is bringing them into a storm situation, something that they cannot handle on their own, something they cannot meet a need in their own self. I find it interesting, secondly, is this, at the end of verse 24, but he was asleep. He's almost basically ignoring them. They're on the boat and they're scooping water and scooping water and scooping water and scooping water. And Jesus is doing this. And they're all running back and forth. Get the water out, get the water out, get the water. And they're fretting. And Jesus is sleeping away. And one, I don't know who it was. I'm not sure which one came with the idea. Someone had to stop and say, why don't we ask Jesus about this? Let's quit bailing water. Let's stop and bring this need to the Lord. Look at verse 25. And the disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us! We perish! And he says unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? That's why he brought them to the storm, because they had little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Notice the difference? He needed them to grow in their faith. He brings them to a storm. He brings them to a situation where only that they have to go to him in prayer. They pray. They seek him. They ask him for this thing. God answers their prayer. God delivers them. And they're marveling. Wow, what a Savior. Wow, what a God. And their faith is increased. That's what the Lord is doing. So I said, number one, God wants to give us good things. Number two, God knows our needs. Let me show you the three things. The third thing, sorry. Number three is this. Now listen to this statement. Because the first two, most people agree with. This one, people kind of bristle at this one. They don't like this one. Because this one hits close to home. It's one thing to tell people that God wants to give them good things. Oh yeah, we like that. God knows our needs. Oh, I thank God that he knows my needs. This one they don't like because this puts the onus right back on them. You ready? True biblical praying always gets an answer. Go with me to James 4, if you will. James chapter 4. We tend to put the onus on the Lord. Well, the Lord just didn't do it. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. James chapter 4, look with me at verse 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust at war in your members? Ye lust, this great desire, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye what? Ask not. Now is he done? Nope. Now he's just slapped you one side of the face, now he's going to slap you on the other side. Ready? Look at verse 3. Ye ask and receive not. You don't have what you need. Why? Because you're not asking. You're not getting an answer. But why? Because you're not asking. You're not getting your needs met. Why? Because you're not asking. Then you start asking, and God says, but you're asking, you're still not getting it. Well, what's that about? He says in verse 3, because you ask amiss, off track, off mark, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Here's the big problem with our prayers. We pray too much about what we want, desire, and not what the Lord wants to give us. We use the Lord like just as, really, he's just a spiritual Santa Claus. He's like, I'm going to sit on your lap, Lord, and I'm going to tell you all the things I want for Christmas. Lord, gimme, 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 gimme. And then they take you and they shoot you down the slide and you slide down to the bottom. And so that's a Christmas show. And so you get a BB gun and shoot your eye out. And so you say, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. And and you think, well, Lord, you say, preacher, I asked God for this and I asked God for this and I asked God for this and I asked God and he didn't give it to me. So God doesn't answer prayer. Let me tell you why you didn't get it, because you never prayed. Praying is getting your request in line with what God wants to give you. That's true biblical praying. That's what the Lord answers. We don't take time to find out really what is it that I'm supposed to be praying about. What are my true needs? I mean, we just get a piece of paper out and say, you know, it's just like Christmas. We get out the old Sears toy book catalog and we say, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that and I want that. And then we write it all down, put our name onto it and say, oh, my name is Good Boy David Littner. And we send it to the, we sign it and we send it to the North Pole. And we expect to get it all. Instead of saying, Lord, my prayer list is empty. Now, Lord, what are the things I really need to be praying about? That's the prayers the Lord wants to answer. That's true biblical praying. True biblical praying is not simply you come up with a wish list and expecting God to do it. True biblical praying is coming before the Lord saying, Lord, here are the needs. The best I know, here are the needs that you're telling me that I should be praying about. There's two reasons we don't have answers. Either we're not asking, or we're praying carnally for our own personal desires. When I was a kid, I used to love watching Carol Burnett. Remember the Carol Burnett show? Wasn't that funny? That was a funny show. I'm not saying it's a good show to watch. I don't remember all of it. I'm sure there's a lot of bad stuff about it, and I'm not in any way promoting it and saying go home and watch. I'm just telling you, as a kid, I like to watch it. Okay? And I like to watch Tim Conway. In the early show, I had a guy. He wasn't on the later show. He was only in the first couple seasons, I think. His name was Lyle Wagner. He was a tall movie star guy. Remember, he was always tall, dark, and handsome. And as a kid, I'm telling you, I'm being transparent with you. I'm putting my emotions on my sleeve and letting you hurt my feelings. Ready? As a kid, 6-7-year-old Denny White, I used to look at that, and I used to get beside my bed and said, Dear Jesus, help me to grow up and be tall, dark, and handsome like Lyle Wagner. Can I tell you, God never... I was going to say, can I tell you, God didn't answer the prayer, but I don't have to tell you that, do I? You're like... That's the problem with our prayers. Our prayers are just about that carnal. Either we're not asking, or we're praying carnally, and that is why we're not receiving answers. True biblical praying gets an answer. Go with me another place, if you will. Book of John. John 15. John 15. Now we're getting kind of close to the end. Let me show you just another verse. John 15. Talk to you for a little bit, and we'll get ready to close it down. John 15, if you will. Look with me at verse number 7. Notice what the Lord says here. And it says it in several places. We're just going to use this as one. We've noticed these in other times when we've preached about this. John 15, look at verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Notice the prerequisite for the answered prayer. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. You know why? Because if you abide in him, and his words abide in you, then what you ask, what you will, is what he will. You're on the same page. You're asking for what he wants to give you instead of the Sears catalog toy book. Instead of the, you'll help me be like Lyle Wagner. You're saying, Lord, as I'm abiding in your word, I see the things I should be praying about. As the Lord abides in me, he's changing my desire, so I'm desiring the things he wants to be doing. I'll just give you a simple illustration. We have, now that we're in this building, we have a nice PA system. We seldom have problems with it, which is different than previous times, if you remember, in the other place. Every service, something was going on. Remember that? Something was going on. And typically, it was going on in the cordless mic, the wireless mic. Something was always seemed to be weird about it. And so, we had several problems. And one of them was the building. The other problem was some of the equipment we had. We didn't pay a lot for it. And as you know, sometimes you get what you pay for. And so that was part of our problems. We didn't pay a lot for it. We didn't have a lot to buy, and so it didn't cost a lot. It didn't do a whole lot. And so, as any person would know better than doing, but we did anyways, we bought one cheap system, and then we bought another. Guess what? Cheap system. Yes, you're on the same page I am. So we bought this cheap system, we bought this cheap system, and we kind of worked between them and kind of engineered between them trying to get them to work. It was never really right. Now we have a nice system. Someone donated money when we first moved in here and was able to really upgrade the system and have an expensive lapel mic and nice mic here and other nice things. And the Lord has blessed us that way, and we're thankful. But one day we're dealing with that old wireless system, and they looked identical. And one of them had, and in fact, we still got it back there, one of them had a handheld mic. And we had several ones that looked identical. And we were trying to, I forget what we're doing, we were trying to get one to work, and it was all plugged in. And so I got the mic on, and I'm talking, testing, testing, one, two, testing. And nothing's coming over the PA. I'm like, oh, so I change all the batteries out, put new batteries in. Testing, one, two, testing. Nothing's coming over. So I go and I unplug it, plug it in somewhere else, look at it, and you know, okay, everything's on, the button's on. There we go. Testing, one, two, nothing. So I open it up, and there's a little squelch thing. We turn the squelch this way. Testing, one, two, testing. Nothing. Nothing's happening. Nothing is working. I'm getting frustrated. Think about the printer that I broke when I was frustrated and I threw it down. I remember Brother Gasser walking in, and I'm breaking a printer in my office. That was a different story. That was a different story. But this one, I did not break. I did not throw it. I'm just getting frustrated. Testing, testing, one, two, testing. Getting frustrated over this thing. And I said, I don't know. I'm thinking, I do not know what's wrong with this thing. Why won't it work? That's the frequency. 55.139. And that's the same. No, it's not. 57.393. Oh. Well, if they're not on the same frequency, they will never communicate. I'm talking on one frequency, and it's receiving on a different frequency, so it doesn't matter what I can say, testing, one, two, three, all my rest of my life, and this device here is not picking up, it's on a total different frequency. If I turn that off, that's the right one. Plugged it in, testing, one, it works fine now. Wow. When the transmitter and the receiver is on the same frequency, there's communication here. Let me tell you, that's exactly the problem of prayer life. We're transmitting on one frequency. He's picking up on a different one. And we're saying, Lord, you're not listening. The Lord says, I'm listening, but you're not speaking my language. You're telling me all the things you want. You got the Christmas list out. You don't like it because you got a sacrifice for me. Well, you know what? That's part of the Christian life. You don't like it because people make fun of you because you're living for Jesus. That's too bad. That's part of the Christian life. You don't like it because, you know, you've got some financial struggles. You know, that's part of life too. There's our financial struggles. Instead of saying, Lord, here's my great need. My great need is to have a love for the Lord. My great need is to have a burning desire to reach the world with the gospel. My great need is to be a testimony to my family, a testimony to my friends of someone who loves the Lord and is trying to live for the Lord. I'm not saying the Lord's not concerned about your bills. I'm not saying the Lord's not concerned about your health. But often, all we reduce the Lord down to is, pay my bills, keep me healthy. And as long as you do that, then me and you are okay, Jesus. I'm not saying the Lord doesn't care about those. I'm not saying those things are not important. I'm saying there's a whole lot more things more important. That we need to stop sometimes and say, Lord, here's my true needs. And what you find is, when you put the true needs in the prayer requests, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all these other things that are starting to fall your way, because you got the right things in the right place. I'm not sure what may be going on in your life. I have no idea what the situations. But I do know this, a couple of things that always, when I think of my prayer life, two quotes by Dr. Rice convict me. One is this: daily answers to prayer should be normal in a Christian's life. Daily answers to prayer should be normal in a Christian's life. That's a convicting statement. Convicting statement number two is this: all of our failures are prayer failures. Convicting statement. I know this as well. Anytime I hear a sermon on prayer, anytime I read a book on prayer, anytime anyone talks about prayer, I'm immediately convicted because I never feel like my prayer life is what it should be. You're probably the same way. Here's my only hope for you. Ready? Stop and say, Lord, I'm not right. It's not what it should be, but Lord, help me in this. Help me to do it more fervently. Lord, help me to do it more obediently. Help me to do it more submissively. Help me in these things. And that's the invitation. That's what God is saying. I want you to bring this forward. I want you to have this desire. And as you have this right desire, I can direct you in the right way.